Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Every Other Week Tuesday Night Open Calls. And obviously, this is the week. We're here to have some fun tonight and have a little bit of discussion, see if we can help some people, just like we always do every other Tuesday night. And we'll continue to do this for a while longer, I believe. I haven't heard anything different. Things are scheduled out to the end of the year, and we'll see what next year brings. Other than a new abode for me.
Yeah.
Oh, I am so ready to be out of here. I'm so ready. But anyway, Jesse sounds like he's been having a great time in New York. Just celebrated his 33rd wedding anniversary with his lovely wife, who I have met several times. She's a sweetheart. And like he said, she hasn't killed him yet. And
I
reminded him
bonus.
The key word is yet.
Yeah. I always say that's an absolute bonus, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we can get the rest of our moderators on here. Sir John is with us now. And
I am, and the storm passed.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're escaping, aren't you? Going north.
Yeah, it was like heading right at us for a while, and it was right there. Then it stopped, thank God.
Yeah, not so good for the Bahamas, but good for you guys.
No. People, dude.
The Marsh
so
Harbor
horrible
is like flattened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Any more headaches down in the Bahamas. It already is tired and wore out from all the hurricanes over the years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can only rebuild not only the structures, the buildings, but your mental fortitude so many times in a lifetime.
Exactly.
And that just really starts eating you up. I mean, when you just keep getting pummeled. But, you know, I mean, you look at the other side of it, they choose to live out there in that island paradise, out away from everything else, kind of isolated out there. But that, you know, that's one of the risks that they're taking by doing that. But it doesn't make it any easier.
Unfortunately, a lot of the people live on papaya and bananas that they grow on vacant land, and they pull conchs and sea turtles out of the water. And you go by some of these villages, and they've got a 10-foot-high pile of conch shells, and that's
what
they
build walls out of them.
And,
yeah.
Yep. They bathe in the ocean, and they don't even have windows on the houses. So I mean, it's pretty primitive in a lot of it.
Yeah.
Especially the
a meager living.
Yeah, they don't have a way out of there. They were left over from the slave trading days. It's very unfortunate, but
it is.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Very, very much.
And they don't have a way to come to the U.S. to make it there, much less try and get a foothold if they were able to make it here.
Right.
They wouldn't
they
have any idea what to do. Yeah.
They don't even know any better. That's all they know.
Yep.
So,
well, anyway, we are here to have a little fun, have a few laughs, hopefully, and talk about whatever situations we may have going on, but help whoever we can with some guidance maybe in the situations they're dealing with. And, of course, we have to keep ourselves out of trouble. I really don't want to get in trouble doing this, so I have to turn it over to Jesse to let him do his patented disclaimer to keep all of our butts out of jail.
Good evening, everybody. As usual, if you're here for legal advice, you've absolutely come to the wrong place. We're not attorneys. We don't provide legal advice. We don't even know what it is, actually. So if you're looking for legal advice, please go seek out an attorney. And he will give you some at a very high cost, But if you're here to talk about your cases and how we handle our cases, and, you know, ins and outs of what we do and our wins and losses, then by all means, join us and enjoy it. Ask all the questions you want. And but again, guys, nothing here should be taken as legal advice. It's not intended to be. So, with that, David, of course, you know what goes next.
Well, yeah, we always like to see if we can find out what's good that's going on out here in the world with our members and with our guests, and find what kind of good news that people have, because, you know, let's face it, we all know there's plenty of bad news floating around all over the
right.
place in so many different ways. So we like to start hopefully with something positive, something good, an accomplishment by somebody, something a good turnout on something. But if you have any good news for us, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll put you in the queue. I can see your hand up if you do that. And I will call on you, and we can listen to your good news. But, of course, we always want to start with the moderators first and throw that out. So I'll ask if any of our moderators have any good news.
I have nothing myself.
Goodness.
Other than hurricane didn't hit Florida.
Yeah.
That is good news.
Huge, great
yeah,
news,
that's,
right?
That's especially good news, especially where John is down there. You know, he was more susceptible to it than you would have been, obviously. But
oh, yeah.
You know, you being inland and him being, well, not far from the beach. So,
no. Yeah.
Anyway, no, that's a good thing there. But, well, I really don't have any good news on my situation. I have not heard anything from the court yet. As far as the Midland MDL, whether there's going to be a hearing, I probably should go and check the docket, and maybe I'll get into doing that tomorrow. See if the court has scheduled a hearing. They've been very good about notifying everybody now, finally, after the huge debacle we had last year with not getting notices and them saying they want to dismiss all the cases. Well, you know, when stuff isn't sent out to people, people aren't going to be informed. So that's the only thing I'm waiting on, to see when there's going to be a hearing, and you can rest assured that I will be on that at that hearing telephonically, and I will have a conversation with Judge Dembin at such time as they have that hearing. I've already had conversations with him in a telephonic hearing, and he knows very, very well who I am. I kind of stick out of the crowd out there for several reasons, and he let that be known. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with that, but I don't have anything else going on at this point in time. And if we don't have any of our other moderators with any good news, we have a person with their hand up here. So let's go to 201 and see if they've got some good news for us. 201, you're unmuted. You got some good news for us?
Yes, hold on. Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
This is Kim. Yes, hold on, I need to...
Boy, how many different phones have you got? You must have a whole drawer full of phones, because every time you call in, we've got a different number and different area codes. And, oh, man. What do you do? Just, you got them all set in a box? Like, are they in rows in that drawer, or what?
It's my hidden secret.
Yeah, your hidden secret, that's for sure. You better keep that one hidden.
She's taking the whole incognito thing seriously.
Yeah.
Very seriously. I'm learning well. Learning well. Well, my good news, and my husband is sitting here, Brian, is that he went to federal court, and he did file an appeal against Wells Fargo and Brock and Scott. So that was a big move for him, and we're
mm-hmm.
working on the process. So that was awesome. And So that is my good news. I don't know if LaGrette is on the phone, but I know her good news because I know she's trying to get through. But her good news is that this is North Carolina, Arizona. They file a motion to dismiss without prejudice. Finally, through Barclay. And also Bank of America was still, she's still fighting with them. But that is coming soon because it's the same lawyers who has her case. So I don't know. I know she tried again on Tuesday, so I said I will bring that up also again. So this recording is taking place. We still couldn't get Terry's recording at the end. And now I have a question, though. The question I have is a summons came through Glasson back in June, and I filed an answer, a defense answer, July 1st, and they still have not come back with a response. Now, I know they have like 30 days, and I know some of the calls, you said sometimes the courts give them leniency.
Well, they don't need to respond. When you answer a lawsuit, they don't need to respond to that. Then the suit just proceeds forward.
Oh. So they would just...
I think you got a little confusion there on your process. When, somebody files a lawsuit. Okay, let's say I file a lawsuit. Okay. I'll throw just a quick example out here. I file a lawsuit against Jesse. And Jesse gets... I get him served. If it's in federal court, he's got 21 days to answer. State courts vary. A lot of times it's anywhere from 10 to 20 days. Sometimes it's 30 days. But the defendant has so many days to answer. Okay, they can put in what's known as a responsive pleading, which could be a motion for a more definite statement, or it could be a motion to dismiss. Or they can answer the complaint. Now, if they put in a motion for a more definite statement, then the plaintiff needs to respond to that, needs to argue it, or, you know, if they want to argue it. If they put a motion to dismiss in, the plaintiff needs to argue that if they don't want the case dismissed, which most of the time they obviously wouldn't. But if they file an answer, if Jesse files an answer to my complaint, then we're off to the races. It's up to me as the plaintiff to move that case forward into discovery and the other processes all the way to trial. But there's no response that's required to answering a complaint. Once a complaint is answered, then the dance has started.
Okay. So the other option could have been then motion to dismiss, and then they might answer that motion to dismiss.
Well, if they don't want it dismissed, then they would file a opposition to your motion to dismiss. You know, you get sued. Well, you know, we advocate you. One of the first steps is file a motion to dismiss. You want to see if you can get rid of the case right away. But if the other side, here again, we enter into that territory, this thing that we've said thousands of times on these calls, silence is acquiescence. If somebody moves the court, in other words, files a motion. That's moving the court when you file a motion. If somebody files a motion and you don't answer it, or the other party doesn't answer it, that means that that party evidently agrees with whatever was said in that motion, and they don't want to argue it. So if somebody puts in a motion to dismiss and the plaintiff doesn't argue it, well, the court's going to say, well, I guess they don't care. We're going to dismiss it. Boom, motion granted. You're done.
Okay, so what happens, but it's what I did an answer and a motion to dismiss. I filed two different...
You don't want to do those at the same time, because once you answer, you're in there, and your chances of getting a motion to dismiss granted are slim to none, from my view. Because you've already said, okay, let's dance. I answered it. You know, you're saying I did this, and I'm saying, no, I didn't. So now the court's the referee, and the court's saying, okay, you guys get your boxing gloves on, let's go.
Yep.
I mean, that's basically how that procedure works, trying to put it in very simplistic, you know, terms outside the legal arena. So you understand the process of it. But you, before you do an answer, you want to do your motion to dismiss. What that does is that puts the other side in a position where they have to answer your motion to dismiss, and it starts giving you an idea how they're likely to proceed with their case, because they have to defend what you said. It gives you some insight before you ever really start dancing. You're both stand, you know, you're both standing in the doorway, but you haven't gone into the court yet, so to speak. You have and you haven't. But the moment you answer it, you've jumped into the arena, and that referee out in the middle of the ring is saying, okay, get your gloves on, let's go.
Okay. So at this point now is a heavyweight game at this point, because nothing has transpired since.
Right. And now you keep in mind, they're the plaintiff. You're the defendant on this, right?
Correct.
Okay. They're the plaintiff. Remember what we always say. When you file a lawsuit against somebody, it's your obligation to move that case forward. You are the one driving the bus. You never let the other side drive the bus. So now that you've answered, it's going to be up to the other side to start driving the bus. But now that you've answered, you also need to understand your rules and get going into discovery. If your rules allow discovery after the complaint has been answered, then you're wide open to start doing discovery on them. Admissions, interrogatories, requests for production. And you don't want to wait on that stuff. Unless the rules prohibit you from doing it at this point. And here again, you know, we go back, we always talk extensively how important it is to understand the rules of the court that you're operating in. So you need to find out exactly what your rules say, how your court, and I'm assuming this is almost guaranteed it has to be in a state-level court. So you have to know your rules of your state court as to when discovery is allowed. So you go read and find out, when can you commence discovery? What is the threshold? And if that threshold is after the complaint has been answered, which you just did, then you want to be getting going on your discovery. And the simple reason for that is, you don't know how long the court is going to allow for discovery unless your state rules specifically state, okay, discovery period is only X number of days, which I think most of the time the court sets that. But you don't want to just sit back and wait and wait and wait. As long as you've, you know, entered into the ring and the referee has told you to put your gloves on and get ready to go, get going. You know, you got to figure out, okay, based on their complaint, what are they saying? You need to formulate your discovery to, you know, produce this, 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 and this. You know, you're saying that I have this credit card and, you know, I used it and I didn't pay and all this kind of crap, which is, you know, just probably a reasonable scenario that we're dealing with here. And, you know, okay, well, you say I had this credit card. Where's your evidence that I allegedly had a credit card? Produce the original account documents. Produce all statements, any alleged statements regarding the account. You know, do you see what I'm saying here? The biggest thing is you need to get the process going instead of just sitting around waiting.
Yes. Okay. I will continue to do that. And this is a new chapter in my learning curve. Wonderful. I can do that.
There you go.
All right.
Well,
yes,
I know you can.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, and that is all I have for now. I'm glad I asked because I was not sure what the next move and did I do it correctly, which I'm good learning. But thank
well,
you
sure.
all.
No.
Have a wonderful, wonderful evening and stay safe out there. All right.
Thank you.
Thank
you
thank
too.
You bye for
you
now.
Have a great
bye
evening.
For now. I will. Thank you. Bye for now.
All right. Now, let's see. We've got another hand up here. And, of course, you know, we're just going to go ahead and swing the door wide open because Kim was the only one that had her hand up before for good news. We've got another hand that popped up here. But anybody that has a question or good news, we'll throw them all in the same hopper. Hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. For all of you people who have got questions regarding any kind of foreclosure issues or stuff like that, we do have Jesse with us tonight, so he's able to be the resident staff member here. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, the foreclosures have gone way down, Dave. Weird.
Oh, I know. Just wait a little bit and see what happens. Oh, boy.
Oh, I know. I know.
When it comes back, boy, it's going to come back like with a vengeance. Ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go and see what 209 has for us tonight. You are unmuted. Go ahead.
That's Joseph here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you loud and
clear.
Go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, I missed that last exchange. Do you mind repeating what you had said? You go, it's going to come back with a vengeance or something? I was changing
yep,
my earphone.
The foreclosure. Yeah, the foreclosure situation is definitely going to come back with a vengeance. There's no doubt about it because the economy is going to change very, very dramatically and not in a good way.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Everyone is telling me I'm crazy, but I agree with you. My name's Joseph. Hey, I got a couple questions. One, it was really good what you were going over with, I forget her name, the last lady that was just on.
Kim.
So, Kim, yeah, you said, so discovery... So according to the rules, and you want to do admissions, interrogatories, and there was something else you said I missed.
Requests for production of documents and things.
Okay, and then I've been looking for how to do a responsive pleading in the website, and I'm sure it's there, but I haven't been able to find it. I wonder if you could possibly direct me to, like, where I could find that, or is it not on there, or maybe it isn't.
Well, there is a section, responsive pleadings, because every response is going to be tailored to whatever you're dealing with. Like, say, if the other side puts in a motion for summary judgment, your response to a motion for summary judgment would be completely different than a response to, let's say, a motion to dismiss.
Well, how about specifically it would be just the filing, they file a debt collection lawsuit alleging or claiming to be the creditor. So then you have 30 days to answer, and so you can
you need to go into the beating credit cards section of the website, and all the information you need is right in there. Just start going through and studying that. There's webinars in there. There's example documents.
Okay.
Everything you need to get you going is in the beating credit cards section.
Okay, thanks. Because I was looking around, and but all I was finding was I don't know if it was you, but one of the guys. What's your name, by the way? Are you John?
I'm Dave. No, I'm Dave.
Dave.
John's here as
John.
Well. Mm-hmm.
I think John told me. He said go. He was telling me something on a prior call. He said, you know, go in the website, and but everything I was finding was all about. Was all about being a plaintiff and suing them for, you know, violations of the Fair Debt Collection or Fair Report.
Okay,
you
were in the taking their money section.
Okay,
see, there's
correct.
Different sections.
I probably was.
You need, taking their money section.
You
that's the section
cards.
That covers us going after them, because they're coming after us. But to defend a suit against you, you want to be in the beating credit card section.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much on that, and I'll just listen into the rest of the call. Appreciate
okay.
your
time. Well, you know, go in there, and, you know, if you've got questions on that, you know, keep in mind we have Terry's call on Thursday nights, which I'll make the announcement on that at the end of the call tonight. So it's just as a reminder.
Okay.
But,
and we have a member call tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern. Covering
I'll be
the
there
FDCPA.
On that one.
Oh, a webinar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There
members
you go.
Only.
Okay. Okay, great. Credit card cases. Okay. Okay, thanks, you guys.
Okay, thank you. All right, we are going to go to, I'm waiting for this board to move here, there we go, we're going to go to 225. 225, you're unmuted, go ahead.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm just calling, I wanted to say a little bit of good news. I don't know if it's good, it's good to me, I don't know if it's good to anybody else, but... I've actually been helping educate my son a little bit about all of this as far as foreclosures and stuff goes. And while I was training him, showing him some things, I had gone out to MERS to do a MERS search on my property. And of course, when I originally started it about 3 months ago, I did one and nothing showed up, but then I did it while he was here, and the new servicer that's come in on my house for servicing, they showed up on there. Well, I was talking with him again yesterday, and I went back out to MERS and did a search again, and they were gone. So
peek-a-boo.
I was kind of excited about that, but I printed out each time, you know, that information. I feel like that could be used and, you know, to show their inconsistencies. The other thing was, I sent out a FOIA request today to Fannie Mae for the document that I found on their website that corresponds to my mortgage and the trust that it was securitized in. So hopefully I might hear something back on that.
Well, now you said you sent them a FOIA request?
Yeah. Because what I had done was when I first got stuff from the servicer sent me a pooling number. And that I started searching on that number, and I came across this document on the Fannie Mae website that says that the pooling number is that number. And it also, they gave me something else, but somehow I came up with that CUSIP number, And when I did that, I pulled it up and it came up with a bunch of other information about a little bit of information. It had like a prospectus out there and a document that was the, I guess, the basis for the whole trust. I'm not quite sure I understand how trusts work with Fannie Mae, because I know that in the other trusts that they have available, that's with the SEC, they have an opening and close date, and I can't seem to find anything on that particular, you know, that kind of information.
Generally, with those, they're private money. That's why you'll never find it listed. That's the reason, just so you know.
Well, and
well,
the thing that...
Well, I did the FOIA request.
Yeah, you probably won't get anything back.
Yeah.
They're not required
by law. Freedom
of
Information Act applies to a government entity, a government organization, not a private entity.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, FHA and all that, they do,
even
kind of like their own entire, well, they live on a different planet. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Okay.
The rules don't apply.
The CUSIP numbers, the system for CUSIP numbers are owned by the American Banking Association.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is part of Standard and Poor's, so they're not affiliated with the government.
Okay.
It's a private numbering system.
Yeah, anytime you're talking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, that's only applies to government organizations, whether, you know, municipal, state, federal. That doesn't apply to any private entities.
I guess I've been fooled into believing that for a Fannie Mae was actually a government agency.
Yeah, most people think that. Most people think the Federal Reserve is. You go down the list of what you think is government and is not.
Yeah.
I know
that. Unfortunately.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Fannie, Freddie, all that stuff, they're known as GSEs, government-sponsored
right.
entities.
Yep.
Right.
But they're not government entities. That's the difference. There's
Why
a very, very clear dividing line between them. That's how they get away with so much stuff. They got the government helping them do it. But they're not part of the government. How convenient. You can't use a FOIA on them to get any information. It's like they're a shadow. And trying to get anything on that is almost impossible.
I did notice, too, though, on the Fannie Mae website, I actually found something online where they recently had a case. I'm not sure where it was that this case took place, but they actually had did a deposition on a representative of MERS, I think, and they were saying that they didn't have any relationship between MERS and Fannie Mae, but yet on the Fannie Mae website, when you go there, that's all the instruction that they give for servicers that are coming in and starting new loans or mortgages, is that they telling them to go to the MERS and add them to the MERS.
Yeah, but that's just all paperwork stuff. They're not part of it. They may be giving instruction on things, but that doesn't make them part of something. And again, that's where that line is drawn with anything in terms of like a FOIA.
Right.
They literally they can literally ignore your FOIA request with no repercussions because they're not subject to it under the law. So don't be surprised if you don't get anything back.
Yep.
And I still haven't. Nope. I did send out a QWR to the supposed holder of my note, according to the servicer that I'm dealing with, and I haven't gotten a response on that QWR yet. And it was sent out on July the 3rd. But I haven't gotten anything back from them yet either on a QWR.
I believe under the law they're required to respond fairly quickly. I think, what is the stuff on that, Jesse? Isn't it like something within 2 weeks or something?
20 days.
To at least notify you that they've received your...
20 days to acknowledge, 30 days to respond.
Yeah. So they're obviously...
But it has to be a proper QWR. Remember what we've always said. The QWR cannot be a fishing expedition, so, and they have no obligation to answer a fishing expedition. Okay, so that is the biggest thing that you have to know. So QWR is a dispute of some sort, very specific. Interest charges, escrow charges, insurance, stuff like this. It's not just, hey, here's, give me all the information I want, and you get it. It doesn't work that way. So,
yeah, unfortunately, there are way too many people that misconstrue a QWR as being like a discovery process where you can ask for everything,
exactly,
including the kitchen sink. And that, like Jesse just said, is not at all correct. And as he also said, and this is really important, if you do an improper QWR, they have no obligation to answer it.
None.
So that, depending on what you sent, that may be why you haven't heard anything. Or maybe they've screwed up. You know, we don't know what you sent. But how specific it is, because, you know, some people, when they send a QWR, it's about 15 pages. Jesse, what's the maximum number of pages you need for a proper QWR?
One.
There you go.
Yeah, I used an example from someone else's, and I basically just asked... I was going to try and pull it out. Let's see exactly what I did ask.
See, unfortunately, there's so much incorrect information flying around out here.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a ton of it. And, you know, people say, oh, well, this is the proper format and exactly what you should ask in your QWR, and it's, you know, 9 pages, 12 pages, 13 pages. Well, maybe in that person's mind, that's what that person wants and they think they're entitled to, but when it comes down to the legal aspect of it, they're absolutely 101% wrong. But it's still floating around out there, and then other people find that, and I think, oh, well, that sounds really good. Yeah, this will really make them cough up all the stuff I want. No, that's not a QWR.
Right.
But I asked for a complete payment history, a breakdown of the amount, a breakdown of the amount of claim arrears in delinquencies, an explanation of what you mean by assignment, sale, or transfer. The payment date, purpose of payment, and the recipients of all escrow items charged to our account, breakdown of current escrow charges, and a copy of the annual escrow statements and notices.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I was going to say, that could all be on one page, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's all on one page. They did not respond, or they haven't responded. Now, they did send me back. I sent it return receipt, and they sent me back the return receipt on August the 12th.
It may be that they didn't get delivery of it until then. You may have mailed it much sooner, but for whatever reason, they didn't sign for it until a much later date. On your return receipt or on the USPS website, when does it show they actually received it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I did a certified return receipt, and the card is stamped by a Debbie Reynolds or a D. Reynolds on August the 12th.
Okay. Well, then that shows August 12th is the day. So they have till about almost a little before September 12th to be within the 30 days to respond.
Okay. So I still have a little bit of time left on that. Because they're supposedly the person that is the holder of the note, according to the other, the one that said they were my servicer, but now say they're my subservicer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't never get their story straight, so just get used to it.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the paperwork shuffle has begun.
That's right.
Either that or they're just pointing fingers at each other. And either one of those is either one of them is possible. In fact, probable.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, keep up with it. They're still within their window to answer that, but, you know, you only have a few more days to wait. So hold their feet to the fire. If you don't get your response, then you want to pursue it.
I could actually.
You got any other questions for us?
No, that's all at this time. I'm trying to think. I'm going through my mind here. But that's it at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you bet. Thank you. You have a great evening.
You too.
All right. Well, let's go here and keep putting those hands up, everybody. We got some up. And, you know, as I've said before, you know, we keep going until we run out of hands up, and then we say good night. So you guys are doing pretty good tonight, getting the hands coming. So let's go to, 941. See if I can get it to unmute here. Come on. There we go. 941, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Jennifer. I'm in
Hi,
Florida.
Jennifer.
Hi. I was a member for years and enjoyed it, and I had to go away for a while, and now I'm back. I have a
welcome back.
Question. Thank you. A couple of foreclosure questions for you, Jesse.
I'm here. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. After a sale and the house has been taken, have you seen or been involved in any kind of action to recoup the note?
No.
I think it's called replevin action or something like that.
Yeah, you won't get it back.
Okay.
It's once it's done, it's canceled. Actually, if you look into the court file, you'll see it there after the fact, stamped void, done.
Really?
Yeah. It's in the file. Stays with the court, yeah.
Well, at one point in my son's case, they ordered all the documents sent back to the law firm that had conducted the sale. And I wrote to had him write to them and asked him for his note back.
Yeah, I've never.
Yeah, never happened. Okay, that's
I've never seen that before. Yeah.
In a another situation. We were talking about MERS with the lady earlier, and we all know that the lenders or servicers transfer the notes into MERS. I have a situation where the original lender put it into MERS, then they went out of business. Then subsequently, like 8 years later, a new company was created with the same name of Wachovia Mortgage.
Okay.
And by J.P. Morgan Chase, all of the executors or all the officers in Wachovia Mortgage LLC are registered as J.P. Morgan Chase officers. They then went into MERS as the new company and created an assignment to J.P. Morgan Chase to proceed with the foreclosure. Is there any realm of defrauding MERS or action that can be taken in that
against
arena?
Against MERS? No.
No, against J.P. Morgan Chase for defrauding MERS.
No, you can't take an action. No, you're not in that position. Yeah,
you're not in a position to act on behalf of somebody else to go after J.P. Morgan Chase. If there's a criminal situation, that's what prosecutors do. But in any kind of civil action, you know, you can't bring a civil action on behalf of somebody else.
Oh, as far as MERS goes. They're the ones who were defrauded, right? But they used it against me in my case by, you know, creating a fraudulent assignment.
One of millions.
I know. It's such a terrible thing. Okay, third and final question. All those statements that I get every month from the bank with all the increase of, you know, payments and what's due, even though the judgment was back in 2012. I get
Why are you still
month.
Getting statements?
Because I've kept the case alive all the time.
Oh.
I'm still, okay. That's my question, though. I mean, I'm still getting them. The house just got sold August 1st. Finally. You know. It went away since 2009. But I have still have been getting those statements. Is there anything we can do with those? Even though they say this is not an attempt to collect the debt, or if you've been in bankruptcy, the debt was discharged in 14, and they just keep sending me statements. Nothing to do with those?
Nope.
Let me see. Okay. Well, that's where my journey's taken me. I'm done with that side of the foreclosure. Thanks. I'm looking forward to doing some stuff with credit cards now with y'all. So thank you for all the information you keep giving us.
You're
very welcome. Well, welcome back again.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great evening.
Appreciate it.
Okay. And you know what, guys? I'm looking and I don't see another hand up. And now you guys know what happens if we don't have any hands up. That
Jesse
means
Jesse goes to sleep early.
Jesse goes to sleep early and Dave gets to go do some other paperwork that he's got to get done. And I don't know what Terry will do. She'll probably go watch Hannity or something. I don't know. But, you know, we're here to help you guys, but we can only help people that raise their hand and say, hey, I got a question. So if you've got a question, one last time, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. And if we don't get any other hands that pop up, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up for tonight because we do have other things to do. And we make this commitment to help you guys, but, you know, it's all about our time management as well as everybody else's, too. So I'm not seeing any other hands popping up. So I'll go ahead and mention that we do have a webinar tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern. And you want to come and join us. John, I think you're going to be doing that one. Is that correct? Where did John go? He must be multitasking, doing something.
I was muted. We're going to do FDCPA case law and then have some Q&A.
There you go. And for all you people that are working on FDCPA stuff, that's going to be a real good deal, because you'd have a little more time to talk with John, go over some good case law, and get sharpened up on that, sharpen your pencils so that you know what you're doing with that. And then, of course, Thursday night, Terry has her call. And if you aren't on Terry's email list to get documents and stuff she sends out, or to get the information about her call, send an email to queensongbird, that's all one word, queensongbird@gmail.com. All you have to say is, please put me on the list. You can even put that in the subject line, and that will suffice. But her call is at 8 o'clock Eastern on Thursday night. Keep in mind, next week there'll be no Tuesday call, so it'll be 2 weeks from tonight will be the next Tuesday call. And I'll tell you what, Jesse, I just cannot get over the fact that, you know, we're kind of semi-officially past summer. We're in September. We're already
yep.
past Labor Day holiday.
Yep.
The kids are
it
back in school. And, I mean, I looked at my clock this morning when I woke up, and I could, it's a digital clock, and I could almost see the hand spinning. It was moving so fast. It's just, I'm telling you, time is just going so incredibly fast these days. But we're here to help you guys. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and join John tomorrow afternoon. I'll probably be on that webinar as well, and we'll have a good time tomorrow and on Terry's call. And if you need information, tune in. But become a member of the website. That's the most important thing. That's where all the organized information is. You know, you can listen on these calls, like Terry's call and this call on Tuesday nights as a non-member. But for you to really pick up and understand what it is that we do and how to be effective at what we do, you need to be a member to be able to have access to that organized information so you can study it in a methodic manner. So get in there. It's not that expensive. It's well worth the investment in your time and a few bucks out of your pocket. And with that said, Mr. Jesse, I'm going to let you wrap it up.
Well, ain't a whole lot to wrap up. God bless everybody. Have a great week. Spread the word, guys. And that's it. Ain't a whole lot to do. Appreciate the moderators. Usual. Can't do it without you guys. That's it, David. We're done, buddy.
All righty.
Have a
great
night,
everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, bro.
Be safe.
Good night.
Yeah, man. Talk to you later, bud.
Good night.